I'm Vicky Merrick, the local food report's up now with Elspeth Hay. And this time, a Wellfleet woman talks about the connections between the banana industry and her hometown.
A few years ago, I helped the Wellfleet Historical Society collect oral histories. I knew when I started that Wellfleet-born sea captain Lorenzo Dow Baker had launched the modern banana industry in 1870. He had a little extra room in the hold of a ship in Jamaica and added this unknown fruit cargo. The bananas were a hit, and he ended up building an entire banana industry, starting plantations in Jamaica and shipping the fruit to the United States. But I didn't realize how many older people living here today have families that migrated to Jamaica for years, and in some cases decades, to live and work on Baker's banana plantations. Joan Hopkins Coughlin is from one of these families. Her grandfather was Lorenzo Dow Baker's brother-in-law, and he first traveled to Jamaica in the late 1800s.
I think he was probably in his 20s. They all went, kind of did a spell of going to sea and then started working for the company. Then he bought properties and became a supplier as well.
Banana properties.
Banana properties.
One of these banana properties in Jamaica is where Joan's father grew up and where Joan spent her childhood.
Property was called Blue Mountain because you looked out at a mountain range. And it was very pretty, very rural. Streams here and there and cattle. And bananas were a good crop because, you know, it takes a year to grow a banana tree that bears.
I don't know anything about bananas, so tell me.
And after they bear, you know, a big bunch, then they're cut down. The tree is cut down because it's really all water and, you know, it's a different kind of, I don't know what it's called, what kind of a tree it's called, but they always have little shoots coming up. And so the shoots are the next year's crop. So the next year that little shoot would grow into a big tree and produce a big bunch of bananas. But they're fragile.
I looked this up. And banana trees are fragile and watery-stemmed because they're actually not trees. Botanically speaking, they're perennial herbs. So instead of woody trunks, they form succulent stalks. And at the time when bananas were taking off in Jamaica as an export crop, this was considered to be a good thing. Sugarcane was on its way out. Enslaved laborers in Jamaica were freed in the 1830s. And coconuts, which were also a cash crop, took a long time to grow back after hurricanes and could be risky. In contrast, bananas required relatively little labor, and in the face of island storms, despite their fragility, the plants grew fast and recovered quickly.
The crop was a one-year type of thing, you know what I mean? So yeah. People could grow their own in their own backyards if they wanted to and bring them when they called for the fruit.
The call for fruit came from Baker's ships, which were at the docks ready to purchase bananas.
One story was that he would have a conch shell blown, you know, and they would hear it in different places. I never thought a conch shell would have that amount of distance to it, but who knows, a few drums and a few whatever. And people would, you know, get busy and cut whatever they were cutting, and as long as they were in good condition, he bought them.
When the trade first started, Baker had trouble with getting the timing of harvest and shipping right.
And he didn't have much luck for a couple of times he had to throw away an awful lot of stuff. You know, you see in the grocery stores, the green bananas? That's what he came to, that you had to ship them green.
Joan remembers that you had 14 days to get the bananas from the moment they were picked to stores in the United States. These 14-day bananas are the same fruits we see in our stores today. Though in the years since Joan's family left Jamaica in 1951, the banana market has changed. Today, most bananas imported to the U.S. come from Central and South America. Still, the origins of the banana industry and the community connections between Wellfleet and Jamaica live on. For CAI's Local Food Report, I'm Elspeth Hay.
Lorenzo Dow Baker was quite a character, busy guy. In addition to jumpstarting the American banana trade, he was also the main proponent of diking the Herring River in Wellfleet and one of the early entrepreneurs behind Wellfleet's tourism industry. We've got a link to learn more about this history right on our website at capeandislands.org. The Local Food Report is edited by me, Vicky Merrick, and produced by Atlantic Public Media in Woods Hole. Thanks for listening.